Hello. How's it
What's
going?
up?
I am Kelsey. I am live with Iman, one of two very special guests, Jerome, aka Black Dragon Roll. How are you guys?
Doing great. Happy to be here. It seems like it's been forever since we've had basketball, which was only a day or two, or since NBA basketball. But no, everything's great.
Good. Glad to hear it. What do you think is going to happen tonight?
Well, it's a game one, so that's usually I don't know if LeBron's willing to do this as a feel out game since it's the finals. I assume he'd want to go all out, but this is like the one where I feel like Miami has a good chance of stealing it. Although, like I'm cheering Miami the whole way through, I'll be honest. I don't know, it's hard. I don't know what I want this series at, to be honest. Like I'd be happy for LeBron, but I love Jimmy and a big face coffee, so it's hard to say. It's really hard to say. I haven't prepared myself.
I want
Yeah,
LeBron
we
to
just
win
want
it.
Big Face Coffee to win. When Big Face Coffee wins, we all win.
Exactly. Yeah. And this week, like, there's what? National Coffee Day was yesterday. And I think International Coffee Day is tomorrow. So this is a week for Miami to win it all. Like, that's, I think,
Oh,
what we need to have
yeah.
happen.
There's going to be,
Yeah.
and then today, if they win, will be every year National Big Face Coffee Day.
I mean, that's how we got it started at this point.
Yeah.
And like and like this counts as a Canadian win, I'm assuming. I don't know how. Oh, Kelly Olynyk, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. So win for Canada too. Jeez, there's so many
It's
reasons why
like the only
we would
time we'll cheer
happen.
for him. But
Yeah,
is
exactly.
Lebronto not a win for Canada? No.
Oh.
It's
You know
not.
what? You said it, and I actually didn't feel as bad. I feel this is growth. This is personal growth. Like I've actually like gotten somewhat past my trauma. Like you just said it, and they didn't like crumble to the ground and like get into a fetal position.
There's no
So
physical
this is a
reaction
good
to it.
feeling. Yeah.
I'm definitely going to be outnumbered on this one, but I'm going for LeBron James. I want him to win this. I do, and Yasmin made a really good point on the last Dishes and Dimes episode where she says she doesn't want a team in the Eastern Conference to win until the Raptors are back there. And that's how I
That's
feel right
fair.
now, where I'm like, if let's stick to the status quo until the Raptors get back to the top, and then we can flip switch and let the underdogs, which is always going to be the Raptors, win it all.
Maybe.
It feels like it's been such a confusing time for Toronto pettiness. Like I just don't know who to cheer against the most. But yeah, that's such a good point because like you don't want to see anyone in the East win outside of us because we should be there. Oh. Now I'm confused again. We're gonna have to do this again like
I
later.
like love the LeBron. Like I just want him to win more championships because I hate
One
that
in
like
the East
it
win outside of
against me.
us because we should be there. Oh, now I'm confused again. We're gonna have to do this again like later.
I like love the LeBron. Like I just want him to win more championships because I hate
One
that
in
like
the East
it
win outside of
against me.
us because we should be there.
Are you hearing?
Oh.
Is this technical difficulties?
Now I'm confused again. We're gonna have to do this
I
again like later.
want like I just love the LeBron. Like I
Definitely
just
talking to myself again. What's happening here?
want. What is happening?
That better?
Yeah, I just heard me and Jerome talking again.
We're figuring it out, guys.
We're figuring it out. This is great.
I
Rome is a
mean,
builder today.
but like I really I like LeBron James, and I hate this conversation about like, oh, he's 3-6 and 3-6 mafia. No, like I hate that people take away from the fact that he's made the finals. Like that's a knock on his career. It just doesn't make any sense to me. But just the more chances he has to win it all and just let his legacy continue to grow, I'm all about. Because he's the
Yeah, I'm
GOAT.
not really mad at that. Yeah, how about you, Kelsey?
I just want Miami to win. I love Jimmy Butler. I love Miami for the most part. I mean, yeah, I like a good underdog story. I think it would be Miami. And also, they're like, I don't really consider them an East Coast team because, like I said in the last group chat, they have palm trees. And I just feel like all the East Coast teams should be cold and all the West Coast teams should be warm. So they can switch out Denver maybe and give them Miami. And then we all win.
Does Miami winning hurt our stakes in the Giannis Antetokounmpo race? No? Okay.
I think it helps it.
You think it helps it? Okay.
Yeah, because I think there's the same thing that happened with the Warriors, where it's like, if Miami wins it all, they're seen as like they're the champs. Whereas I think if they lose to LeBron, especially if it's like another 5-game series that the Lakers just keep having, I think it's like a great underdog story, but I don't think anyone looks at them as like the champs. I think the legend, the story changes depending on what happens in this series. So I think if the Miami Heat win, it's seen as Giannis leaving a team number one that beat him and that went on to win a championship,
which is a very
Kevin Durant scenario that did not work well for Kevin Durant. So I feel like them losing it kind of, it's like, oh, well, they need a superstar. They need that guy. LeBron just dominated them. Who's going to be that number one guy? And that kind of makes the Giannis scenario more likely. As if they want it, then it's like, you guys don't need anything else.
Yeah, and if he joins another Eastern team, and especially like a team that didn't beat the reigning champs, then he's still seen as competitive. It's not really that Kevin Durant factor where it's he's joining the already crowned champions.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
Again, we all win.
If LeBron wins. No?
If
that was if the Miami Heat win. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. You know what? I just like, what do you think? Okay, besides what you want to see happen, what do you actually think is going to happen?
It's going to be Heat in either 5 or 6. Or not Heat, sorry, Lakers in 5 or 6.
Okay, okay. I was like, oh, you think it's going to happen?
No.
Heat in 5 is
you really believe in
Big Face Coffee. You're a big investor.
I don't drink coffee.
I think I'm leaning toward Lakers in 5 or 6. I think tonight's game will definitely, like, if Miami takes tonight, then probably in 6. If not, like, we might be looking at a 5 scenario. But I think that's the kind of crazy unknown about it, because, like, is LeBron going to hit another level for this? Like, has he? Because I don't know if he's necessarily, like, because honestly, it's been Antonio or Antonio Davis. Oh my God. Anthony Davis being the best player on it. And I honestly see that trend continuing. I feel it's going to go that way. But like LeBron could potentially just do all that. Like, we've seen him try to carry many Cavs teams. Of course, he was younger then. I'm excited at the prospect of finals of LeBron again, because that guy is ridiculous.
As much as I want Anthony Davis to win a ring, I don't know if I want it to be necessarily with the Lakers.
Do you think he goes elsewhere in his career? Or do you think he's just going
to
be?
No, I think he's probably stuck for life now, but yeah. I'm like, why do you have to do that?
Right. I know. I can't believe that I'm actually, like, I said that I would cheer for the Lakers in the finals. Like, that is just the most disgusting thing I think I've ever said in my life.
If you came into the season and then you were like, you had the Lakers and the Heat in a ranking of people you would cheer to win the championship, like, how high up would they even come? Like, coming into the season, I don't know that I'd cheer for either, because for the long, I always respected the Heat, but they've always been a thorn in my side as a Raptors fan. So, yeah.
I like Jimmy Butler.
Right. That's definitely helped the cause.
I like Bam. That. Yeah, mm-hmm. Jimmy and Bam. Also, like, I think, like, if you asked me at the start of the year, I wouldn't know who Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson were to, like, be to decide whether I like them or not. Whereas, like, now I'm, like, all on board. but I still, like, I think if you'd asked me that, I think I just have so much respect for LeBron James at this point in his career that I'm just like, I would love to see LeBron James win another ring. Like, I hope that isn't it for him. Cause, like, if it's not this year, next year's only gonna get harder. Like, look at that Lakers roster. It's not a very well built one here. And then it just gets really tough. But you know who else is gonna get tougher? The Miami Heat. And I think we have a Miami Heat expert on the line here, if I'm not mistaken.
You can call him that, I think.
He's kind of an all things expert. His writing is absolutely
I would say so. He's an all things nice guy. I always like running into him. Yeah. There he is.
He's wearing
the Cash Club's not feeling shirt.
Got a rip.
Nikias Duncan, everybody.
What's up?
What's up, Nikias?
How are you?
Talking about the Heat.
Oh, yeah. See, what's been said?
They're trash and we hate them. No, I'm joking. we were just previewing the finals, talking about what we want to see happen, and then we talked about what we thought we were going to see happen. And let's throw that back to you.
What I would like to see happen, I want to see 7 games. Like, regardless of who ends up winning it, I think the series deserves 7 games, honestly.
That's how you know you're a writer. As a fan, there's no part of me, if my team was in the finals, that would want 7 games. I'd be like, I want the Raptors to win. I don't care how. It could happen in 4, because that's less stressful for me.
Oh, no, I feel that. But there's just so much smart basketball, I think, that's going to be on display. Like, Eric Spoelstra is one of, if not the best coach in basketball. Frank Vogel is a defensive mastermind. LeBron's one of the best players of all time, one of the smartest players of all time. Like, Anthony Davis is versatile talent. Bam Adebayo's versatile talent. Like, it just sets up for such great basketball. And I kind of want to bask in that. So I want a hard-fought 7-game series. As far as what I expect to see, I expect to see great basketball, obviously. But beyond that, I kind of entered, like, this series thinking it's going to be the LeBron and then Anthony Davis show, and that the Lakers are probably going to win the series in, like, 6 games or so. And then I started going back through film and, you know, trying to parse through as much as I could since those matchups happened literally last year. And just kind of examining both teams and what they are now. And I feel like the Heat match up a little better with the Lakers than people are giving them credit for. And, like, as much as we talk about, like, the Lakers do have the 2 best players in the series. And I feel like the conversation of 3 through 10 or 3 through 12 or whatever is a little bit overblown. But this is also kind of shaping up for a slightly easier series for Miami from an offensive standpoint. The Lakers obviously have a lot of size and length, but if you're looking at what the Heat have faced over the last 2 rounds and what they want to accomplish on offense, the way they want to come off those dribble handoffs, off those screens, and try to get their shooters free. In Milwaukee, like, we can slander Bud, but just in terms of personnel, like, Wesley Matthews is a dog, Dante DiVincenzo is a dog, Chris Middleton is a dog, Eric Bledsoe is a dog, and they can chase those guys and hound those guys. You go into the Eastern Conference Finals, it's Marcus Smart, it's the length of Jason Tatum, it's the strength of Jaylen Brown and those guys. And then you get to this Lakers team, and Danny Green is good. He slipped a little bit. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is good, but he's not any of those other guys. Alex Caruso is a gritty guy. I don't want to say gritty guy. That's very cliche. But, like, Alex Caruso is a good defender.
Like you guys. But he's
but he, like, Alex Caruso is a good defender, but he's not Eric Bledsoe. He's not Marcus Smart.
No.
So I think that's going to put a little more strain on the Lakers' bigs. And I think the Miami Heat are in the finals despite shooting pretty much under their level as a team than they have from the regular season. And I think this is the kind of series that sets up for them to get back rolling on that front. And if they do shoot well, I have less questions about them in the half court than I do with the Lakers. And if you can keep the Lakers out of transition, this series gets a lot tougher for them. So I would not be surprised at all if the Heat win this series.
You heard it here first, guys. Nikias Duncan is calling the Heat championship. We heard it here first.
Aggregate it. Share this clip out. Kevin, if you don't mind clipping this out specifically.
I think I've done that with LeBron James teams in the past. And granted, we're talking about a Raptors team. But, like, I'm thinking back to the 2018 Toronto Raptors-Cleveland Cavaliers series. And you look at it on paper.
You were so confident.
You were, yeah, because I think I saw that and I was like, I just don't trust this Cleveland Cavaliers team to really I trusted the Raptors offense in the half court way more than I trusted the Cleveland Cavaliers at that point. And the Raptors just still could not do anything because it was LeBron James. And so I'm like, I think I have, like, LeBron PTSD, but I mean, as a Heat writer fan extraordinaire, you are well aware of what LeBron James can do in a playoff series.
Yes.
And still, going with the Heat, we heard it here first. You can't take it back.
Fair enough. I would just say the Heat don't have a DeMar DeRozan, so I think that helps them quite a bit in this kind of setup. I had to do it. I mean, this is Raptors talk. So.
No, that's only fair.
Hey, yeah. I have a championship. I'm fine.
But you know who isn't on that? Who wasn't a part of that championship team was Mr. DeRozan. Not, so.
No, I understand that. And I'm saying like the Raptors have to get past it. It's hard. It's hard when you know I talked about the defenders versus the 3-point shooters on the Miami Heat, and it's hard when you have a DeMar DeRozan who doesn't play any defense and can't hit a three. Just like you know, the Heat don't have that guy. And the split was just like, it's just really interesting color lines, how that divides on the Miami Heat. I just think that that's a fascinating topic.
This might be the first real challenge that the Lakers are facing in the playoffs too, I would say, in a team. Like, I'm not sure that any of the teams that they faced off of, like so far, have really presented any kind of
focus. Is that what you're saying? Because that's how I feel.
I mean, yeah, I guess if the path is... Wow, I guess the path is just always easy for LeBron to get to the finals, no matter which conference he goes to.
Ooh, slander.
No. I think Nikias raises all the good points. Like, it's one of those things I completely agree, like, over the course of him existing in the NBA, like, why would you ever bet against LeBron? But in this particular year in the NBA bubble, I don't know how you bet against the Heat either. Like, the teams that they've taken down, I think that's why while I honestly wanted the Nuggets Heat just for personal bias reasons, like this probably is the best matchup in my opinion. So it'll be really fun that way. Seven would be great just because we get more basketball. And I'm assuming if it is seven games, they're highly competitive. Like Nikias said, great IQ, great kind of counters on each end within the game and throughout across each game. So yeah, I'm just really excited about it. I'm still picking the Lakers, but not as confidently, thanks to Nikias.
I have done my job. That's all I needed to do.
Yes.
Someone's asking in our comments, actually, Srad Joker says, why do you think Heat are better offensively than Nuggets?
Ooh, I think, first and foremost, there's more shooting. The Heat don't have a pull-up shooting threat like Jamal Murray, when he's just kind of tossing flames all over the place. But they do have a lot of movement shooters. Duncan Robinson has been one of the deadliest shooters in the league, just kind of flying off screens. Tyler Hero's a spot-up guy and a guy that can shoot off movement. Goran Dragic is a good spot-up guy. Jay Crowder has, I mean, he sucked the last three or four games, but, I mean, he's been a 40-plus percent three-point shooter since he joined Miami. They just have a lot more guys to account for, and I think that's going to spread the Lakers a little bit thin, or at least more thin than they have had to deal with.
I think the top talent is on the Nuggets end, but there's just a greater balance and an unpredictability as to who exactly is going to go off from the Heat. And for a team like the Lakers that have been priding themselves on defense, they can't exactly just play one way. They're going to have to adjust nonstop depending on who goes off, because it could be any number of players on the Heat who all have the potential to be 20 or 30 point scorers. Which in the playoffs is that kind of depth is great to have.
Yeah. And that's kind of been one of the things with the Heat. Like, you don't know where it's coming from. I believe Goran Dragic led the Heat in scoring in the Indiana series. Jimmy Butler did it in the Milwaukee series. Bam Adebayo just did it in the Boston series. And even within that Boston series, you got the 37-point game from Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson going off the back end of that series. They just have a lot of guys that can get hot. And with the way that they play with so much movement, it's hard to kind of take away everything from them. So I think that's where it's going to be a challenge for the Lakers. They have so much more to account for now.
Do you think that their youth compared to the Lakers is another upside for the Heat as well? I mean, they're a really, really young team. And the Lakers very much are not.
It's a nice way of saying the Lakers are old.
They are old. Oh man. But it kind of goes back and forth with me. Like, I think the way that the Heat want to play this series, I think they want this to be a slower series than what the Lakers would want. So I don't think the youth element is going to be that much of an advantage for the Heat, just because I think key number one for them is making sure the Lakers don't run in transition, because if they do, LeBron's going to kill you. Anthony Davis is going to kill you. They're going to get lobs and dunks all over the place. So I don't know if that's going to be as big of a deal. And just being in the bubble element and the young guys that the Heat do have, like, none of them care. Like, Tyler Hero's fearless. Like, Bam is coming into his own. Duncan Robinson's coming into his own. I don't know if it's really going to be that much of a – I don't know if it's going to swing as much in this series.
Now, the Heat are a five seed that are in the finals, which, I mean, it's safe to say that they're a surprise team in this bubble. Why do you think that it's worked for them? I, like, have theories about Heat culture and throwing everybody into a bubble, but why do you think it's worked for them?
Like, I mean, the Heat culture definitely matters. Like, it, I can understand why people feel like that's just a big cliche thing and a big marketing thing that they use, but I think it's very real for them. Just the level of accountability that they have from the top down, I think, kind of sets the standard for what they want to accomplish.
And how everyone, is that what you're saying?
Yes, that is exactly what I'm saying. Yes. Okay. but they believe from day one that this team can win a title. And, like, it's easy to kind of get caught up in that, like, oh, it's the beginning of the season, it's preseason, everyone feels like they have a shot. But, like, this is something that has legitimately been drilled in them from the start. And they've proven it at every turn. Like, they've got more shooting than they had in years. They have a true alpha personality, at least in Jimmy Butler, that fits into what they want, like, from a personality standpoint. Like, Bam Adebayo has taken multiple leaps throughout this season in a way that I don't even know if the most optimistic Bam/Heat fans could have anticipated. But that's also part of just that collective mentality. They're going to work at it. They're going to push themselves to the limit and see where it goes. And then from there, since they've gelled the way that they are and they have more talent, more versatility, especially after the trade deadline, when they get Andre Iguodala and Jay Crowder in there, they can switch more. That gives them more options to go to defensively. From there, it just becomes a matchup game. That's just what the playoffs are. Like, team A may be better than team B, but team C may match up better with team A or whatever. And Miami getting into that 4-5 bracket, I think that really helped them.
I'm upset that we didn't get a Miami Heat Toronto Raptors series.
Oh man, yeah, that would have been stressful, to say the least.
This would be an entirely different show if we were facing each other right now.
Correct. I would just be getting yelled at, but, you know, it's fine. It's probably for the best.
What do you think are the most matchup, like, player to player in this series? Ask Sandy. Hi, Sandy. We love you.
Hey, Sandy.
Hello. Most important matchup in the series. Like, I think it's going
to be Bam and Anthony Davis is going to be a big one, just in terms of, like, the numbers they put up and how exactly they guard each other. That's probably gonna be my pick. Like, for, because, like, the LeBron Jimmy thing is, I don't even think that's necessarily a matchup. They're just, like, the two best wing players on each team, but LeBron's LeBron. But I think what probably can swing it is exactly the performance between the two of them. Because if you get Bam from Eastern Conference Finals and he can start putting up those numbers, even if he just matches production, that might do enough to negate a lot of the impact. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's probably my big one.
Can you get Bam offensive production from the Eastern Conference Finals against the Lakers, considering they're so big and the Celtics are not?
I think that's the question. I think more than any other series is going to be up to the shooters to kind of free up Bam, which is why I think looking at who the Lakers have on the perimeter defensively, I think it's such a big thing for Miami. Because, again, they haven't shot particularly well from three, or at least not to their regular season level. And I think if you get a situation to where Tyler Hero is back to shooting threes at a high clip, if you get Duncan Robinson looking like regular season Duncan Robinson again, that's going to force those big men to kind of play up higher on those screens, and that's going to open up those slip passes to Bam, and then he's operating for 4-on-3, and then from there, good luck. As you saw with, like, the Daniel Tice dunk in game 6 of these conference finals, like, Bam will put someone on a poster if you give him a runway. And if you have that advantage, he can also sling passes all over the court, and that's opening up more threes. So I think it's going to be up to the shooters. If they start knocking down shots the way that they can, that's going to open up everything else.
I think it's also how well he holds up in terms of defending Anthony Davis. Like, I'm not saying anyone's going to be able to do much against him, but I think in terms of his profile and just what he's like, his agility and ability to move, like that's going to help. But yeah, outside of that, I don't know. What are the other matchups that you all see?
Goran Dragic and do the Lakers even have a point? And
Rondo. Would be Rondo? Yeah, I get.
How dare you Rondo. Respect 2020 playoff Rondo?
I love Rondo, so sorry, Rondo.
I think Rondo versus Hero is going to be interesting. Yeah. I think one of the things we saw like towards the end of the Eastern Conference Finals is that guys like Marcus Smart, guys like Jaylen Brown, once they match up with Tyler Hero, they started crowding his dribble a little bit more and started getting some and started turning him over just because he does have like a high loose dribble. So I think Rajon Rondo clearly, he definitely isn't the defender that he used to be, but he's still a guy that is pesky, has quick hands, has ridiculously large hands, but has quick hands and can kind of bother guys dribble. So I think once you get into those second unit matchups, if Rondo's on Hero, if Hero can't contain his dribble, then I think that's going to be a way for the Lakers to get out in the transition, and the Heat can't afford to let that happen.
What do you think the ceiling is for Tyler Hero if he does clean up his dribble?
If he cleans up his dribble, like I think he's going to be an all-star at some point. Because I think he has the feel, like he's already a plus passer, he's a plus shooter. Not a great finisher, but he does have tremendous touch. Can get to his floater whenever he needs to. He knows how to read defenses already and can kind of shoot from wherever. So I think that's already huge for him. If he gets a tighter handle, that's going to make it easier for him to get into the paint and for his defenses to rotate from there, and that's just going to open up more passing lanes. And if he can get into the middle, that's going to open up his floater as well. So I think that's really the next big thing for him, getting stronger and just tightening up that handle.
And do you think go ahead, Iman.
Oh, no, I was just going to ask him what he thinks the ceiling is for Chris Middleton if he tightens up his handle.
You know what? I'm just going to Euro step over that one. That's cool.
Sorry, Kelsey.
Do you think this is it for the Heat? Like, do you think this is a team that they've been trying to build for the last few years, pretty much since LeBron's departure?
I don't, and I think that's kind of the scary thing for the rest of the East. Like, I feel like this Heat team is probably 2 years ahead of schedule.
Okay.
So, like I said, they've kind of set things up, even going back to, like, the Justice Winslow trade to bring Andre Iguodala and Jay Crowder in. It was very intentional that they got guys that did not mess up their cap space for 2021. Because I think that's really when they wanted to make their big splash and kind of vault themselves into title contention. So the fact that they're here now and have kind of established that core – I think that's huge for them, and they still basically have that one or two moves left in the chamber next offseason.
And what did you think of that trade when it happened, of the Justice Winslow trade?
Ooh, I hated it. I was not a fan. I felt like they pulled the plug on Justice Winslow way too early. I understood the injury concerns, but Justice is a 6'7" guy that can defend four positions, can get into the teeth of a defense, was becoming a better spot up shooter, which is what they really needed from him. I thought he was the best passer on the team. So I just felt like even with the injuries, like he's such a unique talent and a cost control talent that they shouldn't have pulled the plug on him. But it's kind of hard to argue with what they've gotten out of Jay Crowder and Andre Iguodala to this point. Like, they're in the finals. So
that made it all worth it. Like, he was abysmal back in Memphis.
Yeah, like he has just completely flipped the switch.
Crazy.
And yeah, so you can't really account for that. So, I mean, just based on the result, you make that trade 10 out of 10 times. But at the time, like, I was not a fan of it.
What do you think Justice is
feeling about the Gasol and Valanciunas trade?
You said what?
That's kind of how I felt about the Marc Gasol and Jonas Valanciunas trade. At the time, I was like, why are we doing this? Like, Jonas has so many years left in him that he could develop. And Marc Gasol is like 800 years old. But now I'm like, okay, yeah, you do that trade 10 times out of 10.
Yeah. Just...
I think the difference between Justice is, like, we kind of saw it in the Raptors Heat series where, like, he literally played the five. And, like, there were times where you're like, what? Like, you just literally can, like you said, he can defend all four positions. And, like, with Jonas, we saw what his limitations were also in that playoffs. Or no, the playoffs after 2019. 2 years later. Whereas the Raptors, I don't think could have won, could have gotten past the 76ers or the Milwaukee Bucks if Jonas Valanciunas was on the team at all.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, in the moment, I was mad, but now I understand.
It's sad seeing a fan favorite go, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's like when your parents tell you you're going to regret something and you don't believe them. And then years later, you're like, you were right, Mom.
Deep cut.
I'm just sad he didn't get a championship ring from the Toronto Raptors. I think that was a mistake made on their part.
He didn't get one.
No. He didn't get one. I don't know. Like, I think if you were on the team at any point to start the season, then you deserve a championship ring. The Raptors don't win 58 games and have home court advantage against the Warriors in the finals if Jonas Valanciunas didn't play games and wasn't contributing at some point. So, in my opinion, he contributed in some way, even if it wasn't during the playoffs. And so I think he deserves one. But so that might mean Deion doesn't get one if the Heat win.
Yeah, like, I can understand, like, Deion not getting one just because he didn't play him and did not want him to play at all. But, like, Deion was, like, starting up until, like, the trade deadline. So that's weird.
He was – and he got hurt. He actually didn't get to play until so sad. So he gets hurt against the Golden State Warriors because Draymond Green breaks his finger. And then the day that he was supposed to come back to the lineup, he got traded, which is just, like, sucks so bad. Like, that hurts so much, but I hope he's happy in Memphis.
That's tough.
It is.
Jerome got a ring.
Jerome did get a ring.
Yes. it was a staff. Yeah. Got a ring. it was cool. That was a rare situation where at the time I was a freelancer, but they just knew how much, like, a lot of us had worked on the Raptors campaigns and content, so they try to open it up for us. So yeah,
that's happy really to nice. Get one. That's really great.
Yeah.
Any more questions from the chat here, guys? Send in your questions.
Yeah. Oh well, Kendra asked if Deion gets a ring. I feel like Deion should get a ring no matter who wins. Like, if the Lakers weren't in it, if the Heat weren't in it, Deion Waiters should get a ring anyway.
Just get him a ring anyway? Yeah. No. And not like a replica one that you can buy in like the NBA store? Like
ring pop that's ring. Actually an edible.
Yeah. Oh. No, we don't want to do that again.
The ring ceremony on the plane would be pretty bad.
Oh, no.
All right, so you predict the Heat are gonna win in how many games? You said it was five.
You are really trying to throw me out there. Wow. No, I didn't. I did not say the Heat are gonna win in five.
What would you predict?
I am going to go Heat in six.
Oof. So how do you think tonight goes?
We didn't get how do you think tonight's gonna go, Nikias? Because we talked about that at the beginning, but we didn't get to get your pick on it.
I actually think the Heat. All right. I think they steal game one, honestly. I think this is going to be one of those games to where one of the role players knocks down five or six threes. And it's going to be kind of a, oh, snap, we have to really body up the Heat type game for the Lakers. Like, I think it's going to be a tie series through two games. But I think the Heat take game one.
And do you think defensively, I mean, like, the Heat are stellar with their zone defense. Do you think the Lakers are going to figure that out after game one? Do you think that they've already studied and figured it out? What do you think is going to happen there? Like,
I think they already have an idea of how to attack it. Like, even though Boston, like, from a result perspective, struggled against the zone, they were able to generate good looks, particularly after game three. They were able to kind of get into the teeth of the zone and kind of distort it that way. It's going to be interesting for the Heat just because the Lakers are probably going to be they're going to have at least two non-shooters on the floor, I feel like, at all times. They've been running the Rondo Caruso backcourt a lot throughout this playoff run, and it's technically been a good combo for them, but I don't know if that's going to be a good idea against the Heat if they're running zone. That's going to allow them to kind of rotate to one side, kind of just ignore them. So it's going to be interesting to see if Rondo gets more ball handling reps against the zone, just kind of get into the middle, and maybe that sets up some lobs on the back end. So I think they have a path to beating it, but the Heat are definitely going to they're going to kind of rotate, over rotate, and just try to make Rondo do what he does.
What do we do with Dwight in this series? Like, I know there's one series he barely plays. Last one, they throw him in to kind of be the pest to Nikola Jokic. But do you think he has a role in this one?
I would think he starts. Like, he's been flat out better than JaVale. I mean, he's always been better than JaVale. But I still understand why they brought him out the bench, just kind of have him playing a role. But Dwight has been pretty darn good throughout this whole playoff run. I don't think he has beef with anyone on the Heat side, so maybe you don't get some of those silly fouls that we saw in the Nugget series. But I think he's going to be huge for them, just as a role threat and pick and roll, as a guy that can clean the glass on both ends, can set hard screens. I don't want to call him a Bam stopper, but he, just from a physicality standpoint, he's a guy that can match up with Bam in a way that maybe JaVale McGee, who is like super tall and long but also thin, maybe couldn't deal with Bam in the way that he kind of lowers his shoulder to get into guys. So I think Dwight's a pretty good matchup for him. I think he starts, and if he doesn't get in his own way, he's going to have a role throughout the series.
I mean, if Dwight Howard and Bam Adebayo's shoulders collided at a high speed, there would be an earthquake. Like, it would only go
one. That's how the Big Bang happened. That's how the universe was created.
Yeah. We figured it out. But what is the source of that beef, the Dwight Howard beef with Denver?
I have no idea. Like, that's like, Dwight's just a weird dude. Like, all due respect, I guess. But like, I don't know. Like, he just took the Jokic matchup extremely personally.
And you don't think that he will do that with Bam or with anyone from the Heat from this series?
Like, he loves Bam, so I don't think he comes there. Like, if we see some Dwight Howard, Kelly Olynyk minutes, then I think maybe things get testy there. That's absolutely gonna get testy. Kelly Olynyk is gonna try to like box him out. He's gonna like pull an arm or something, and it's just gonna be mayhem. So I'm waiting for that.
Is Kelly gonna be pulling the arm, or is Dwight gonna be pulling the arm?
Yes,
it's gonna be a tug of war between the two of them. They're just gonna be pulling each other in either direction.
Wet Willis, and then Kelly's gonna pull his arm, and it's just gonna be a mess. What about Jay Crowder though? Who do you think Jay Crowder is gonna get into it with? Because you know there's gonna be somebody.
Also yes.
You say his shadow.
I just feel like Jay Crowder, like anyone from those like Celtics teams that have hated because of, never mind, we're just not going to get into it. Okay, the Lakers are back. Okay, part of me feels treasonous. I don't know who I'm betraying, myself, I guess, for cheering for the Lakers. And I thought I could look past it because of the LeBron James love, and I'm trying to, but like, have you guys paid attention to all of this, like, Laker fans that acting like they have just gone through the worst of times in the entire world and are like, finally back, you guys don't know how hard it was to get to this point, and that, like, have you guys seen all that? And I just want to know what your takes are, because I am so confused. It's like they don't recognize the rest of the world exists. It's very much like America. The Lakers are America's team in that sense, where it's like, you guys not know that the rest of the world exists? Like, we're here, too. We exist. So I just wanted to throw that to you guys and ask you guys what your takes are on Lakers exceptionalism.
I will first say that like a few of my best friends are Laker fans, and they're generally level-headed people.
With Cash Lab's not it. You're sure it's great.
Thank you. Oh gosh. But like with that said, like shut up, man. Like nobody wants to hear that. Oh no, we had to play Ryan Kelly minutes because our front office was a disaster and we gave 48-year-old Kobe $40 million. Oh no, woe is us. We didn't draft well. Like, what are we doing here? And like, even within that, you have had over the last 10 years, like Kobe was there, LeBron was there, Dwight Howard was there, Pau Gasol was there.
Steve Nash was there.
Like, Steve, like, you're worse like your most disappointing season was that, what, 2013 year where they had Kobe and Nash and Powell and also Dwight Howard. And like you still made the playoffs with everyone just kind of falling apart. Like what are we actually doing here? Like nobody feels bad for a team that only won a title in 2010.
And like they still don't get as well. So it's like, think about the Knicks and the Kings, you guys. They lose every year and they're not getting the hot picks either. Like they're not getting year after year after year. They're just miserable forever.
Yeah, like what was it like?
I think for them it's just like the fall from like where they were at that like they just can't get over. And but not that it's excusable in any way, but I think it's just isn't that the definition of privilege right there? Just getting everything you want, and then suddenly it's not working out, even in spite of everything still given to you. With all due respect to Lakers friends I have on Twitter, but no, not at all.
You guys. No, because it's like we haven't made the finals in 10 years. The Clippers have never made the conference finals. What are we doing here? Like the Wizards have not won 50 games in like 50 years, and you're complaining because you didn't make the finals in 10 years? How many franchises never made the finals? What are we talking about?
Like your franchise was a complete laughing stock. You had one of the greatest players of all time and an executive in Magic Johnson making an absolute fool of himself and the organization. And like 5 months later, you get LeBron. Come on, man. Nobody wants to hear the pity party on that front.
They have AD right now when there were clearly better options to trade for. Like there was only one destination he was getting to, but they could have gotten way more for AD for sure.
And if they didn't get LeBron for AD, what?
What do you think of the whole trading the entire farm for AD? Because I feel like the way that Kyle Kuzma handled it kind of like made me despise him more. Like when they traded everybody, it was like, I mean, Kyle Kuzma treated it as, oh, I'm untouchable. Like they can't trade me. But the way I look at it is he was not an enticing enough trade piece to get AD. So I don't know if I'm looking at it wrong or if he's looking at it wrong, or maybe one of you guys can tell me, like.
Let you go.
No, I have off the record thoughts on the whole Kuzma thing. We'll talk about that. But I agree with you that it's kind of he isn't good. I think that's the first thing to start with. Like, he's very clearly, of the young guys that were in those trade discussions, he was very clearly the worst. Like, Brandon Ingram is up there. Lonzo Ball is up there. Josh Hart is a serviceable 3-and-D guy with a little more on-ball chops than he gets credit for. And then there's Kyle Kuzma, who shoots a lot. And it's just like, I guess to be fair to him, he's been better defensively this year. But, like, just because it doesn't matter. Like, the jumper's kind of busted. He doesn't pass. Like, he defends one, maybe two positions, and that's kind of it. Like, he's playing, 22 minutes per game during this postseason for the Lakers? Like, he very much has not been the third star that he fancies himself as or as Bleacher Report kind of boasts him as. But I understand irrational confidence. As a person that covered a team that had Deion Waiters on the roster, like, I get it.
Future NBA champion Deion Waiters.
He only mentioned Deion Waiters, which shows just how much irrational confidence that team had, because they also had James Johnson, who, as a two-time Raptor, also embodies irrational confidence.
Correct. Kuz has annoyed me all year long.
I completely agree with that. My whole thing is that's another thing about Lakers exceptionalism. I do not want to hear about your crappy players. They're not as good as you think they are. We did this with Jordan Clarkson for far too long, and now we're doing it again with Kyle Kuzma. I'm absolutely done with these guys. They're not good. They're not good. There'll be a game where I'm like, yeah, he's serviceable. He's an NBA player. He can have a good night. I trust in that. He has improved this year defensively. I don't want him on the team. Like, why, people are making trades of like him and OG Anunoby with the stuff that we heard last year. And I was just like, no, that's not a thing. That's never going to be a thing. But,
that's actually,
yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
No, no, no.
Oh, no, just because you mentioned that, I did want to ask you and Kelsey. I haven't really paid much attention, but I do see it in your tweets. What has been the most insulting trade offer that you've come across on the timeline? Because there's a lot. I know there's a lot.
What was the Kyle OG one? Who was it? It was Kyle and OG for who?
There were a couple of Kyle and OG ones. Emma had this great sort of like screenshots of a bunch of different ones. Shoot, I'm not on Twitter. I can't even find it. To me, the most disrespectful was trading like the entire farm for Blake Griffin. So it was like trading away Pascal Siakam.
I did remember seeing that one. And, like, yeah.
What? for Blake Griffin. And it was so funny because like ESPN Trade Machine has like the estimated wins like going back and forth, and it was like minus 39 wins for the Toronto Raptors, and I'm like I understand you're good, but like this is enough proof that this is not a trade that ever needs happening.
It's not enough to match salary.
Oh, there was so, like I think
Marcus Hall for Andrew Wiggins.
Oh yeah, and there was a Andrew. Okay, here's another thing, guys. Just because Andrew Wiggins has a Canadian passport does not mean he needs to play for the Canadian team. That's not how any of this works. We do not want him here. We had DeMar DeRozan, and here's the thing about DeMar. We saw the peak of a DeMar DeRozan led team, and it was pretty good. It won you lots of games in the regular season, and it got you to at least the second round in the playoffs. A really good team, but we saw the ceiling. There's no need to start the rebuild again with Andrew Wiggins when we know how the story is going to end. It's unnecessary.
You don't want a taller, less hungry, less skilled, more Canadian DeMar DeRozan?
Absolutely not. Like, I went through the growing pains with DeMar. I had to watch this guy, and he improved every single year. I don't know that we could say the same with Andrew Wiggins in terms of, like, how DeMar DeRozan improved every year. And, like, you can count on his work ethic. Like, I feel like DeMar DeRozan and Jimmy Butler would be, like, best team. Like, I feel like they would love each other as teammates, even though, like, obviously DeMar, like, is lacking in a lot of skills. He still, like, works really hard. He's good friends with Jimmy. I feel like he wouldn't have the problems that Jimmy maybe had in the Minnesota Timberwolves locker room, because maybe some of those stars weren't as hard of workers and like to play video games or whatever the story was. I don't know. Andrew,
playing too many video games.
Sorry?
They were playing too much Fortnite or something, wasn't it?
Something like that. Yeah, I don't know. But it was like DeMar, we heard stories of like 22, 23-year-old DeMar being like, it's New Year's Eve and like the whole team is out and he's in the gym working out. Like, that was all of the DeMar DeRozan stories that you heard. It's very Jimmy Butler-esque, where it's like, keep telling us how much you work out. But I just feel like we saw the best version of a DeMar DeRozan-led team was. I'm not doing the same thing with Andrew Wiggins. Sorry, not doing it. For my sanity.
I would just counter and say that Andrew Wiggins has improved his bank account every year, so I think you should give him a little bit of credit for that.
Who's his agent?
So we'll hire him as the CFO, just helping us with our investment,
there we go.
Salary management. I'm for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Andrew Wiggins, player agent. We'll do that. That's fine.
Bank account every year. Goes to the gym, works out on his bank account. Good for you, Andrew Wiggins. Take the money. Take those American teams' money. Stay over there, please. Jamal Murray, you can come over here, son.
Yeah, Jamal can come.
What do you think about the playoff run that Jamal Murray had?
Oh, he hit a completely different level.
Oh, he was incredible. Like, yeah, the pull-up shooting was obviously the biggest thing for him, because like he's always been a good, not great shooter, which has been weird because his pedigree and his stroke just kind of seems like a guy that can hit 40% of his threes in his sleep. But he finally became that guy, and that opened up the rest of his game. Like, he was basically Canadian Kyrie with some of the finishes that he was putting up during this playoff run. Like, I just did not know he had that level of craft in him. So that was fun. Like, he's an improving passer. He's improved a little bit defensively. I mean, still a guy that can only defend, like, one position. But, I mean, he's fine there. If the shooting sticks, like, you're looking at –
no, like, he's not versatile. We can't put him anywhere. Can't keep him in two.
There you go. He's a point guard defender. It's fine. But like, if the shooting sticks, like, you're looking at an all-star talent, if not a little bit more, just depending on how the rest of his game grows. Like, it's been an incredible run for him. I'm interested to see what he looks like in a gym with fans and see how that messes with like his depth perception and stuff like that. But I think that's a little, I don't want to say underreported, but I feel like it's a little understated. So I'm interested to see what he looks like in those live settings again. But, like, the footwork's improved. The reads have improved. He's gotten stronger. Like, the craft has improved inside. So the pull-up shooting, if that sticks, like, you're looking at one of the most complete offensive guards in basketball.
what would you be willing to trade on the Heat for him right now? Not like in 2 years when everything's polished up and he's looking better, but right now.
I don't think there's anything that Denver would accept. Because, like, I don't know if you trade Hero for – you don't think you include Hero in a package for Jamal Murray as good as he is, especially with the contract that he has now that's kicking in next year. So if you're not giving up Hero, Denver's not going to take, like, Duncan Robinson and salary filler. And, like, the Heat aren't giving up Bam for obvious reasons. So I don't know if there's a package that really makes sense for them.
But you personally, what would you be willing to give up?
Oh, I mean, personally, like, I would say, like I guess like Goran Robinson and a couple picks.
What would, like, you guys, what would you guys be willing to give up as Raptor fans? Because I'm thinking about it too, and I don't know that I.
Norman Powell.
Yeah, but like they're not taking him.
Fred.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
If we can guarantee Kyle till he's like 45. I would be willing to give up Fred for Jamal.
Like, I love Fred as like my, yeah, I would be willing to do that. I would be willing to give up Fred and Norm, of course. All right, guys. That was great talk. Sorry for
asking. Jerome, what about you? We'll end off with what Jerome and Iman would give up for Jamal.
I'm with you on probably Fred and Norm. I think to Nikias's point too, it's just it's very easy to fall in love with like this run, but it really is only over the course of like a month or like, I think we do need to see what this turns into and how much it carries over into the next seasons afterward, just because anyone can have like a hot run in a series. Not to say that this is a fluke in any way, but how he builds from it is really going to be a big thing. But yeah, in terms of actually like what I would give up, basically in the same round, like I give up Fred, I give up Norm for it. I think he possesses a particular skill that we really lack in terms of like shot creation. So like the skill and the ability, his ability in it is worth quite a bit on a Raptor team.
Yeah. I think to bring up the point about like depth perception and not having fans in the arena, like shouldn't all these guys be shooting like 100% from the free throw line? Just because we keep hearing about how they all shoot like 100% in practice. Like, isn't that the whole thing with Dwight Howard? It's like, well, in practice, he shoots like 98% from the free throw line. I just wonder why we haven't seen that translate. But besides that, I'd be willing to give up like my firstborn child and Fred VanVleet and a package of that. I don't know that like OG's not
going to. You've had a lot of children since we started this podcast. You don't have many children left to give up.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
When people say they want to have a big family to have like a starting lineup, they don't usually mean a starting lineup they can trade away to other people.
That's exactly what I mean. Like, I don't want to like feed, nurture, and like care for them in my home. I would just like to get, you know, players on the Toronto Raptors.
This is my asset.
Just gonna name the children asset one.
Yeah.
Salary filler.
Hey, cash considerations. Dinner is ready.
Cash considerations and salary filler. I'm so sorry that I did that to you, child.
Oh my god.
That's not my firstborn. My firstborn's going up for Jamal Murray. Giannis had to combo. Sorry, firstborn. Second, Jamal Murray is my secondborn child.
So his name is literally traded for Giannis had to combo.
Yeah, my first, yeah, the name.
I think Milwaukee's firstborn. That's a good one, you know.
Milwaukee.
Player to be named later.
Player to be named later. Just write that on his birth certificate.
Anyways, I think that does it for now. Way off the rails. Thank you to
Thank you for having us.
I think I've committed five children to trades right now. Yeah.
So don't insult Iman anymore with any level of fake Raptors trades. Just like pick out kids, name her kid, and then offer up the player that you're willing to give up.
Them Kyle, I think. So like one Kyle to you, Kyle.
Right.
Kyle, Lowry, King of the North.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There's just going to be like anagrams of the name Kyle Lowry. Yeah.
like Lowry, Ikil. Lowry.
All right. Thank you for joining us. We know you are probably up very early right now.
It's 1:30 over here. So.
Wait, what?
Isn't it East? I was going to say,
I'm thinking that Miami.
Oh, yeah.
Miami is still at East Coast.
Miami's in Florida. That's East Coast.
Miami will be in the West.
1:30 is early to some people.
I guess so. Jerome, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Iman.
And we hope everyone will be back next week.
Adios, everybody.
Bye-bye.